Famine swept the land, and the king sent a messenger to the Oracle of Delphi to find out what caused the crop failure. Apparently, it never occurred to him to ask the woman who planted the crops, but this is the sort of oversight of which modern political leaders are also guilty. Yo! We're banning TikTok, but not the poison in our food. Woo! Okay.
Light drop.
Yeah. I need to start this podcast, though. Hey, everyone, you know how I've always just been like, my friend Stevie. And I just keep talking about my friend Stevie all the time. Here's my friend Stevie.
Hi, guys. It's me.
Hi. This is, so now, now she can be your best friend, too.
Oh, big facts. I want to be your best friend.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we are actually best friends. Just
already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love you real hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Double Aries, Cancer rising.
Yes. Double. Technically, I guess it's an Aries stellium, right? Cause yeah, but two of the big three are in the Aries for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into all of your bullshit.
I can't wait for you to tell me all about myself.
I'm excited. I'm very excited that you're here.
Me too.
It's been forever.
It has. I love you guys so much.
I love you so much.
Me too.
And we get to see your face.
Yeah, which is nice.
Is it though?
Yeah.
It is. It's very nice.
How dare you? Okay.
It's a great face.
First of all, it is a great face. Fantastic face. All your kids have that face and they're all beautiful just like you.
That's true. Yeah. Genes are strong for sure.
Genes are strong.
You're ever doubting your beauty, hold on one second. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to say, If you're ever doubting your beauty, look at your children and you think they're so beautiful. Like that's how beautiful you are.
As they stare back at me with their eternally mean face gaze all the time. Like this. Why are you taking my headset? Can I get a snack? Bro. Anyway, go ahead.
I bought this headset and you know where the snacks live.
Right? You got arms, bro. You're big now. You wipe your own ass, you can get your own snacks. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different though. It tastes different when mom gets them.
That's true. Yeah. Mom gets them with her heart, with all of her love. Exactly. Just hands them to you via the love. Just there's no actual. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
guess what Teresa's going to get to do? Guess what?
Oh, my God.
Guess who's next? Like, we have this episode and then we have another episode.
Another Aries episode?
No, it's not an Aries, but Teresa's going to get to meet a family member of mine.
Oh. Oh, are you talking about Amy? You're not talking about Amy.
No.
Who the fuck are you talking about?
Aunt Lisa.
Oh, wait. Is she a Taurus? Is Aunt Lisa a Taurus?
Aunt Lisa's a Pisces. It's not working. It's not working out with the timeline. It's just working out. But yeah, she gets to meet Aunt Lisa next week.
Get ready to just fall in love with her.
She's excited. She's so great.
She's so great. I've done several readings with her and I'm very excited for you.
Yeah, and Rachel's been talking about her literally since the first moment not the first moment we've met, but like since we were the beginnings of Marco and everything. Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Aunt Lisa is my origin story.
She really is.
It's how I got into all of this.
You're going to know. You're going to meet Aunt Lisa and you're going to be like, oh, I see.
Well, we just discovered that they have the same moon.
Yeah.
Really?
I have the same moon sign as Aunt Lisa. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Totally tracks, 100%.
And you'll learn all about Aunt Lisa and more.
Yeah. I'm just really excited because, like, if anyone knows Aunt Lisa, it's you. You know Aunt Lisa.
I fucking love me some Aunt Lisa.
Yeah. Everyone needs a little Aunt Lisa in their life.
For real. Book a reading with her, like, right now because you don't know that you need it, but you actually do. She's going to tell you all about the things you need to know.
Yeah.
Do you get to meet her in person?
No, it'll be over this.
Okay.
Platform. That's okay.
You'll still cry. It's fine.
Yeah. She's going to give her a reading.
Oh. Like,
live. But obviously, like, if things need to get cut out. Sorry. You can tell this is just, like, friends just jumping right into this episode. Hi, guys. I told you all that Stevie's now going to be your best friend, too. This is just how this works.
Well, and it's been a long time since we've all seen each other. So it's also like it's easy to just fall into what's going on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. But today, Stevie is joining us. We're going to fuck her up and go into her chart, because I know the last episodes we've been talking about moon, the moon sign.
Aries
moon. In particular, and now I'm looking at two Aries moons right here.
Right in your face.
So, right in my facicle. And Stevie, you are the ultimate Aries. So, welcome.
I'm just big baby.
You are big baby.
I'm just big baby. Give me what I want and we'll fight about it.
Well, and also you have the Pisces placements too. So, for real, big baby.
Yeah, I didn't realize you had so many Pisces placements also.
How many Pisces placements do I have? I don't even know.
Two.
Three?
But
two. Do I have a Pisces stellium too?
Yeah, your midheaven too. Well, the midheaven doesn't really count because it's not a placement, but I would count it. I would still call it a stellium.
How dare you?
That's true.
You're talking about the midheaven like it's Pluto. That we don't do that here.
Oh, don't fuck. Listen, I can't with the Pluto thing. I just had a whole thing with the, like, I sub for a farm school, and the kids taught me that Pluto wasn't real, a real planet. And I totally schooled them about why, actually, in my own heart, Pluto is a planet, and you all can't tell me anything else. Are we going to fight about it? Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, it's a planet. I get it.
They accepted it.
Like, you weren't there in fourth grade. You were not there.
That's true. I remember when I was in, I think it was probably like second or third grade, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, we did like a whole thing about the planets, and I was Neptune, and Pluto was a planet then, and somebody was Pluto.
And yeah.
Or that person's not real, and that's just in the old CERN timeline.
Mm, true.
And that's just... that person. I don't know. You might want to check on that person to make sure they're okay. Like, still alive.
Is it
alive.
Just another Mandela effect?
It could be. What if that person doesn't exist, never existed, and it's because they played Pluto?
Mm.
And now Pluto... Well, no one's saying Pluto doesn't exist. They're just saying that it's not. Anyway, this is... I'm stopping myself before I get fucking started.
But I'm with you, though. I'm with you. Like, the erasure of the status erases the person that played them also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I figured we'll start. So I'm going to read. We're going to start off, and then we're going to judge you, Stevie. We're going to perceive you.
I cannot wait to hide under this blanket while you perceive me.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's something that I read on your chart, like that a psych predicted, was like, yeah, and it's hilarious. And I'm going to need to read that too.
Tell me everything.
I will. But first, I'm going to read you the story of the constellation of Aries. Before we start, though, I have not pre-read this, and I can already tell you that I will not know how to pronounce these names.
It's Ptolemy.
Ptolemy?
P-T-O-L-E-M-Y. Ptolemy. Is that in your book? He's one of them.
I don't say that name.
I don't even say that name.
Okay. Proceed.
Phrixus? Phrixus is a...
Yeah. Listen. I think that's correct. And then...
Nephili?
Yeah.
Batosha? Mm-hmm. Batosha?
Goetia? Yeah.
That's why I'm like, it's like Goetia, but it's with a B.
So also, though, my dyslexic brain went Tyboa. I thought it said like bow tie or like tie boa. Okay, so yeah.
All right, it must be tie boa now, though.
Yeah, I like bow tie.
I love bow ties.
All right. We'll see what happens. I also, yeah, I love bow ties. I put bow ties on my chickens. I put bow ties on my dogs. Anyway, let's try to read this.
Maybe it's Boucha. I think it's Boucha. Anyway, proceed.
Boucha? That's why I was like, I'm trying not to read things as
an American from New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. That's neurospicy. A neurospicy New Jerseyan. All right. We're gonna try. And
do
we're
your best,
laugh.
Honey. It's all you can do. Forehead kisses.
The first sign of the zodiac is represented by the ram or the Stevie. It's represented by the Stevie. The mythological. Just kidding. We already fucked up. In mythology, the ram has always been courageous and enterprising, a lively, energetic animal able to bound over obstacles and rocky terrain. Basically, like, Stevie, get down from there.
No.
Get down.
No. Right. Let me fall
and hit her head.
I should have known better. Yeah. The story of the ram begins in ancient Greece with a king named Athamas. Athamus. Yes. Athamus. That feels right. That feels like what my Greek family side would say. That's the other thing. I have my family's Greek. I should be able to like kind of.
I was thinking about that the last episode when you were like, I can't do any of these Greek words. And I like just like a little
the thing
part
is,
of me was like, wait.
The thing is, like, I just hear them. I can't speak it. And the only thing I know are curse words.
Mm. Just replace the names you don't know with cuss words. We won't know.
That's so dangerous.
Somebody out there would know. Yeah.
yeah. The story of the ram begins in ancient Greece with a king named Athamus who ruled the province of Botai. Athamus married a woman called Nephele, and they had two beautiful children, a son and a daughter named Phrixus and Heli. Heli. This is really rough.
I would just say hell.
Ah, hell. After a time, Athamus grew tired of his wife and was like, I'm deserting you. And he deserted her, which is kind of fucked. He took a second wife, Enu, and they had two sons. Enu was jealous and a conniving woman who hated her stepchildren, but set about plotting their deaths. So she was like, they're done. And this escalated very quickly, which is
it did. We're only in the second paragraph.
She got mad.
Yeah.
She got mad and then shit escalates quickly. That's what happens.
Yeah. Fair. The first thing she did was convince the woman of her country to roast the corn before planting it. This effectively canceled out the crops that year. Famine swept the land, and the king sent a messenger to the Oracle of Delphi to find out what caused the crop failure. Apparently, it never occurred to him to ask the woman who planted the crops, but this is the sort of oversight of which modern political leaders are also guilty. Yo! Got him! Fucking got him!
Whoops. 100%. Around.
Got him. We're banning TikTok, but not the poison in our food. Woo! Okay.
Mic drop.
Yeah. All right. Eno managed to bribe the king's messenger to return from Delphi and tell the king that the crops would not grow again until the lives of his children were sacrificed to the god Jupiter.
Oh my God.
How dare she bring Jupiter into this?
Right.
The gullible king planned to have his son and daughter killed in order to save his people. A quick shift now to the children who were tending to their sheep. In their flock was a ram with golden fleece. And this golden ram had been given to the mother as a present from Hermes, aka Mercury. So she got wind of what evil was afoot and begged the ram to save her children. And the ram spoke with the voice of a man to warn her children of their danger, then told them to climb onto his back. Then he flew them across the sea. We're not done. I just need to pause.
Okay. I really need it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, as they... We paused. We're moving on now. Okay. Unfortunately, as they were crossing the strait that divides Europe and Asia, Heli grew dizzy and fainted and slipped off the ram's back. She fell into the sea and drowned. To this day, the strait into which she fell is named after her, the Hell's Point?
Yeah, so I think it's hell, which is pretty crazy. So she is hell. So Ares is hell.
No, Ares is the ram that just flew over the fucking ocean. Anyway, so her brother, however, was carried safely to the other land. Colchis, listen.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah, you got
I'm not, no, that's not right. This put an end to the plot of the villainous Inu, though it does not seem to have done much to relieve the famine or to have brought the king to his senses. So rather ungratefully, it would seem, the sun killed the ram as a sacrifice to Jupiter, who in place turned the ram's likeness among the stars in heaven to honor him for his heroism.
That story was all over the place. There is way too much happening in there.
I'm done already. Like, I'm... The podcast is over. I have nothing else in me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That was... There was a lot happening there.
I'm still processing.
Okay, so let's make this jersey, right? So literally, the stepmom comes in and is like, yo, fuck them kids. We need to kill them. For no reason.
Right, right.
There's no reason. I mean...
They were probably like dickheads because like,
yeah, but also the king just deserted his first
kids
wife.
Are dicks and kids are dickheads.
That's true.
I mean, it's okay. Everybody's a dick sometimes.
But also like the husband, the king left the first wife. So of course those kids are going to be dickheads because his dad's a dickhead. Mm-hmm. The kids are just learning from their dickhead dad that left mom in the somewhere.
Who was dad again?
Athamas, the king.
The king.
But I need to read this one story again. Apparently, it never occurred to him to ask the woman who planted the crops, but this is the sort of oversight of which some modern political leaders are also guilty.
I feel like Joanna just like throws these random like stabs of things into here.
It's what I love about her so much. I would love to see her chart because I need to know where the petty comes from.
I know. Do we think she's still alive?
Probably.
You guys never done her chart?
I mean, is it in the book? I don't think it would be in the book.
It might be. I don't know.
I'm going to look at every single page and see if it's in here.
Yeah. I will say out of all of the stories, this is the most chaotic. And we have not even touched on the fact that the ram just
over the sea.
Flew across the ocean.
Where was it hiding its wings?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't... They don't even talk about its wings. It's probably an anti-gravity ram.
Obviously.
Those good old anti-gravity rams.
Yeah. Yeah, you know?
All I can think about is like Brody, who is my dog. Mm-hmm. I have a border collie named Brody, but he's afraid of sheep. He met a sheep one time in New Jersey. And he didn't like it. He was afraid. He fucking chases me around, though. And I'm like big ram energy. So I guess it's fine.
You are the ram. Stevie, do you fly overseas often? Are you also anti-gravity?
You know, I really wish I was. I really wish I was.
You might be.
Maybe one day.
Have you ever tried? Yeah.
Have you ever really tried? Have you really, really put your mind to it to be anti-gravity? Like,
I don't think you can use your mind to be anti-gravity. I don't think you can like put your mind to it. I don't think the mind is part of it.
Your mind for everything.
That's true.
So Gemini.
Okay. Fair.
Also,
I'll take that hit.
Mercury was in that story, and it was also one of the most chaotic stories, even more chaotic than Gemini. story.
Well, so okay. Well, yeah. And why are we sacrificing a Jupiter? And why was Jupiter brought into this?
Also, though, Mercury.
Why was the gift given from Mercury? Yeah, like why?
That's what I'm saying.
What'd she do?
There is no answers. This is not the worst story, but it is the most frustrating.
The least satisfying.
No, there's worse. There was more least satisfying ones than this for sure.
But also this was definitely the longest story too, which is interesting. I feel like all of the other stories aren't a full page.
Yeah, and like I don't even know if any listeners are still listening after that.
I agree.
I feel like this was one of the more interesting ones, if nothing else. But just because it's very just all over the place. Like why? Why are what are we doing here, guys?
I have nothing else for it. I'm closing the book.
Sometimes it feels like she is the one who made up these stories, and I know that she's not. I know she's just the deliverer of information. But, like, what if she wasn't just the deliverer of information and she's just, like, to fuck with us, made up all of these stories herself?
That hurt my brain so much. Because now I'm like, did she?
I feel like she definitely puts her own spin on things. And she adds some information that's maybe more opinionated than factual. Mm.
Yeah, but she did. Sometimes it's... Yeah. True. the political one really got me. That made me very happy.
As an Aries, I get really fired up about perceived injustice or things that seem unjust or injustices to people or things that can't defend themselves. So I actually feel that on an Aries level too, that comment.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, also... because we're going to be getting into your chart anyway. You do have one Libra placement.
Where?
Oh.
Her south node is in Libra in the fourth house.
What's that mean?
The fourth house is like the house of home and our foundations, but also with the IC being there, which is kind of like where our soul lives in our chart. Like, it's very deeply rooted in your soul that, like, you want justice for things. Like, that's just a natural state of who you are. And you seek balance in a lot of things. And some astrologers will say that your south node was, like, the sign that you were in your last life. So because of that, you came into this life, like, freshly knowing those things. Also, Libra's goal in life is essentially to become the master of relationships. And I feel like you are very good at relationships, you know, like you are very good at establishing bonds with people and all of that stuff. And you're like a very huge giver. So I feel like with that, and especially with it being in the house of home, which is your fourth house, like that just shows like, we know how much you give to your family, but like that just shows like how deep your devotion is to like the people that you love and the people around you. And also your Pisces placements, which we'll get to.
Me.
Already got her. You already fucking got her.
So got her. I guess I never realized that part of myself maybe was a Libra placement. And I thought, it was definitely the Cancer placement that I have, just that one. So
we can shake hands a little.
That's interesting. Yeah. I've never in all of my years considered that Libra placement.
If it wasn't in the fourth house, I mean, obviously it'll hit anywhere in your chart, but I really feel like because it's in the fourth house where a lot of like emotional stuff happens, I feel like it's amplified there. Also, something that I was talking to Rachel about before you even came on earlier was that the eclipses, as you probably know, are happening in Aries and Libra over the next, you know, year. So a lot of really big shifts and changes are going to be happening for you around that time because your moon is there, but also your nodes are there too. And right now the nodes are at, I think I said 16 degrees when I looked before. Your nodes are naturally at 11 degrees. So they are conjunct, your nodes. Like you're pretty much coming up on like a nodal return. So I feel like with that, it's a lot of like Colin, who we listen to from Queer Cosmos, one of my favorite lines that he says is like, you can't spell boundaries without Aries. And I feel like that's kind of like the lesson that is coming through for you during this time, you know, and like over the next year. And you may even have like gotten a preview of it in October. So if you think back to October and like the way that things were in October and how you were feeling then to like how you're feeling now, you may notice that there is like similar feelings. And that's because we're having eclipses again in Aries season. So for those who don't know, March 25th, we have a lunar eclipse. And then April 8th, we have a solar eclipse, which is going to be a total solar eclipse in some places in the U.S. So that's going to be pretty cool.
It will be a total, actually, it'll be, I think, 99% totality in my city, but 45 minutes south is 100% totality. So
nice.
We're going to go do that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You got
with it. All of my kids that have Aries moons. And Nick.
Y'all are just going to explode. You and all of your kids are just
Mick also
Aries moon.
Actually, so it's two of the three kids and Mick and I have Aries moons. Just in like that's my so nuclear crazy. Family. Lachlan's all the way Aquarius, but say a prayer. We're traveling to the path of totality during the Aries eclipse. It should be fun.
Oh, you guys are going to do great. But also, you were born during a new moon.
Born during a new moon?
Yeah, and a solar eclipse is a new moon. So, like, you are really in your super strong element in that moment. Like, full emotional divine power. That's going to be a really powerful moment for you, I feel like. Not that you should really practice any magic on eclipses. I mean, obviously do what you want. If you're into chaos, you could do it if you want to.
Last time I was outside during an eclipse, my hands turned like bright, like the color of your hair, Teresa, just red speckles all over my palms. And I have just not been outside for a solar eclipse since.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's when I lived in that apartment and we were up on the roof and I had a thing set up.
In Gloucester?
Yeah. And I have a picture of it somewhere on my phone because I was like, what is happening? And my hands got itchy. And it's like my hands broke out in hives. It's basically what happened. But that was
I would
what?
Love to know when that was. Like exactly. We would because
I can figure it out.
Like what zodiac sign it was in.
Oh, that was in like what was it like 2020? Was that eclipse?
It was before 2020. It was like 2016, 2017.
I think that we were camping with a baby Michael during that eclipse. So
I don't think I knew you then. Like you weren't like it was with Aaron on the roof. So I don't even think that I knew you then in this lifetime. That is just to clarify.
Yeah. But we lived around the corner from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Yeah.
Weird. Super cute.
Weird how that works.
Do you guys want to like talk about how you met?
How did we meet?
I know how we met, but I don't know if it's podcastable.
Oh.
You were working on a thing with some people.
Yeah. And John did the catering for it.
Oh, well, there's that too.
Yeah, yeah. And then... But I think
we're just being super cryptic. Like this is
yeah.
There was somebody that gate kept Stevie from me
for a long time.
For a long time.
That was like post. That was like post thing though, because I didn't know that you know and that they knew.
No, it was before. Because it was like right when I moved there, so it was before I even started dating John.
Hmm.
Yeah. You were gatekept
don't
for me.
Gatekeep.
I was like, get the fuck out of my way. I'm going to meet this person. I'm going to make my own decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they just knew that the love spark that was going to blossom and
Yeah. Don't gatekeep. It's not kind.
I mean, they didn't know what they were, you know, it was innocent on their part.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that person was just doing the best that they could with what they had at the time. Absolutely.
All right. All right. That's fair. Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Yes.
You're very Gemini today, baby. What are you doing?
I am. I've had lots of meetings today. I've been talking to other Geminis. I'm drinking cacao. I'm ready.
I feel you.
Yeah. All right. I guess we should probably read. You want to read her placements? Should we really get into it?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So Stevie is an Aries sun, an Aries moon, a Pisces Mercury, Pisces Venus, Taurus Mars, Aries Jupiter, Sagittarius Saturn, Sagittarius Uranus, Capricorn Neptune, Scorpio Pluto. As we discussed, the North Node is in Aries, South Node is in Libra. We have Chiron in your Gemini. Is in Chiron. Yeesh. And your Cancer rising.
That's a lot of Aries.
Which, since you just ended with the Cancer rising, I want to say this quote that's on here on the AstroSeek that made me when I read it specifically about your Cancer rising. See, all right, this is it. This is the two sentences that made me.
I'm ready.
All right. These people rise higher and higher, and they control others, predispositioned to leadership or to influence others.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's right.
All right. I do.
Just leading shit. Just making it happen.
I find myself doing a lot of things.
Yeah, but like, you're like, listen, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I feel like nobody wants to ever like, everybody's like, I don't know. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. I'm getting Chinese food. I don't know what you guys are doing, but this is what I'm doing. And that's kind of like how I have to live my life at this point.
And it's great.
You're just a natural born leader.
I guess.
You just got to do it.
I find myself teaching a lot in my life. I guess especially like these last probably 10 years or so. So, yeah.
I love that. Well, I love that you have the Pisces midheaven, because I feel like that is so who you are, like this very emotional, loving, caring person. It also means that you are really meant to be in like the divine spiritual realm, like very intuitive, very connected to that kind of stuff, very much like healing, like that whole realm. So I love that you are teaching people, because I feel like the way that you project and the way that you teach is this like very love, comes from a very loving place, especially also with your Pisces being in Mercury as well. The way that you communicate things is almost poetic sometimes. Like, I know that you can also be like very excitable and like in your face, but like when you're in like a deep emotional moment, like you are just very kind and sweet and like very loving and tender with your words. Which also brings me to your Pisces Venus, which is, as we know, Venus is the planet of love. So it's like nobody loves deeper than a Pisces Venus. Like, and maybe a Scorpio Venus may you know, give you a run for your money, but I feel like there's no deeper love that you can receive in life than love from a Pisces Venus. And it comes to a detriment at times. Like, these placements, unfortunately, do have some codependent tendencies. And like you being codependent, but also people being codependent on you, because you offer people a lot of things that they need. And I feel like because of that, you know, I feel like you have a lot of like cords out always, you know, like energetic cords. And it's because like you love people so well that they always want to be like connected to that. So I feel like it's really important to be mindful of your energy and call your energy back to you because I feel like you're constantly like, I would call it octopusing. Like sometimes that happens to me when I'm like feeling really energetically overwhelmed. I feel like an octopus and I have to like bring my tentacles in, you know, it could be whatever it feels like for you. But for you, I kind of see like energetic cords like around you. So that's pretty much your Pisces placements. Also, your Pisces placements are all in the ninth house. Your ninth house is ruled by Aquarius, and the ninth house is all about like higher learning and education and travel and just like the spiritual realm in general. So the fact that you have such huge Pisces energy in the ninth house, like once again, very intuitive, trusting your intuition, trusting your knowing, that kind of stuff, I think is really important. It's important for you to share your message, because the thing is that like Pisces, because they love so big, they also get hurt just as much, you know? So I feel like the world is kind of hard for people with prominent Pisces placements, because they love so hard that like the pain can kind of equal that at times. So it's also about like finding that balance in that as well.
So it might not be your Aries, Cancer, Aries. It's probably your Pisces, Venus.
Probably.
That's the, I'm going to love you so hard.
Well, I mean,
that's how I describe you.
I just like, I do though.
I know.
I do.
I know. That's why we say this like, about you.
Like, I don't know. I just like, have you ever seen a kitten and it's just so fucking cute? You just want to strangle it to death.
Yes.
That's how just I feel about you guys.
Yeah.
I just want to strangle you to death.
I just love you so much. I would squeeze you so hard. All of your farts would come out.
Yeah. Nice. Freaking dog farts at the meat mart everywhere.
Oh, bro. Said a million times a day in my house.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah.
You know.
Dog farts at the meat mart.
Yeah. It's so popular. I've also used it like in homeschooling the boys for handwriting practice. I printed it for them on a fucking thing and they have to trace it. Dog farts at the meat mart. It keeps them engaged, right?
Nice.
They giggle the whole time. Yeah. They do it. It's great.
Just so everyone knows, there's no backstory to dog farts at the meat mart. It's just a thing that came out of Mick's mouth, Stevie's partner's mouth once, and now it's just...
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It sounds like a very mixed sentence.
I wish that over the 18 years that we've been together, I had kept a record of all of the crazy shit that he said. There would be... Yeah. It would be volumes. Volumes.
Yeah. But you're the only one that can translate.
Unfortunately, you're right. And I don't have that much time.
Yeah.
I really don't. I really don't. Maybe I could start now. He's still on it. Anyway.
You can start now. It's never too late.
Let me just add also, that to the rest of all of my Aries projects I have.
I was just going to say, there's never enough time for Aries.
No, there's not.
There's never enough time in the day for an Aries to get everything done that they want to get done. And especially because you also have the Aries Jupiter, I feel like you feel this responsibility to like always constantly be doing things. Like obviously your sun and your moon give that to you too. But with Jupiter being there as well, I feel like it's almost like you feel like if you're not doing things all the time. Yeah. And if you're not doing things all the time, then like, you're just wasting time. And then you get into this like spiral of like, if I'm not doing things, I'm not worthy. And like just continuously spirals down.
Dang.
Yeah.
Why are you bullying me, Teresa?
You signed up for this.
I did. And I appreciate you. And you're right. It hits hard for me.
Yeah. Well, all of your Jupiter placements are pretty much conjunct one way or the other. Like, I'm sorry, not your Jupiter placements. All of your Aries placements are conjunct pretty much one way or the other, because you have a 6 degrees Jupiter, an 8 degrees Sun, and a 10 degree Moon. and then an 11 degree north node. So like they're literally all on top of each other. I feel like competing for your attention. Like your sun wants you to just be like really out there and open and fun. And then your moon is like, but I'm also baby and I'm emotional. And like, I need to be dramatic sometimes and just let loose and let go. And like, scream at the top of my lungs if I need to, just to like release this feeling. And then your north node is essentially who you're supposed to like grow into. So I feel like it's also really interesting that you do have this Pisces midheaven, but now all of your Aries placements are also in the 10th house. So it's like, yes, you're meant to be the healer and you're meant to be the person that like gives and loves and teaches people how to love through how you love and all of that stuff. But you're also supposed to do it with purpose. You're very much like a catalyst for people. You're really good at like getting people to where they need to be. Like, and then like also like you were saying earlier, you have all of these Aries projects. Like, yeah, that's a really Aries thing to have like your hands in multiple things. And like sometimes it's okay to like let it go and just like let it be and push it out to the universe. And sometimes it'll even thrive better by letting it go, you know, and you'll thrive better by letting it go. Like you are meant to move through different shapes and areas of your life. Like you're almost somebody who can like walk in, be a business consultant, tell people exactly what they need to fix their business, and then peace out. Like that would be the perfect kind of job for you in whatever capacity that is, because it allows you to still be creative, but also like no day is the same. And I feel like that's really important to not get like stuck in monotony for you, because not only does it like affect your creativeness with your midheaven wanting to be like really super creative, but it also like doing monotonous things for an Aries, it makes them feel like they're wasting time. So you definitely need something in your life that like gives you like a little like spice. Like it allows you to like, and like I'm talking like career wise, like things for you that like you can do something different every day. Or like even for a couple of months, like I was saying, like being like a business consultant, like, or like even I know you love teaching and you love kids. So like, what can you do like going around to different homeschools and like helping them find a structure, like, you know, stuff like that, maybe spending a month with them and then moving on to the next one, and then moving on to the next one. However it shows up for you, I feel like that would be a really interesting way for you to like use your gifts, but also not get into this like pattern of feeling like you're just wasting time doing what you're doing, you know?
Yeah. I've never had a cubicle job in my life.
Never. Yeah.
I was self-employed when I was, I don't know, 17, I guess. So that checks out. That tracks. I would die in a cubicle. Yeah. I could not. No. No, thank you.
But even with your job that you were doing for the insurance, even though you were traveling, it's still like this like mundane and numbers and like, let's have the same conversation over and over and over again. You know, it's like, even though you still have this like difference of being able to travel, it's, and like that gives you a little bit of freedom in it. It's still something that's like, ugh, I just can't.
That's what, yes. And I mean, I've been doing that for a really long time, and it was fine when I first started and I was younger, and it was like right before I had my first kid, and it was fine. And now it's not, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I understand, you know, that people need the service and I'm happy to provide it, but I'm not.
Also, healthcare has changed so much over the years. I feel like that's also a really big problem and a really big issue, that insurance companies are just horrible. So
they are. And I understand how it's helpful, but I don't like in my soul agree with the fundamental need for, you know, my job. I shouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have a job because moms should be able to take more than 6 weeks off to have their baby and still get paid for it. And dads should too. What the fuck are we doing here, guys? This is the main part of like the insurance that I sell. It's ridiculous.
I don't know what we're doing, but at least we got TikTok banned.
Max, thank God.
At least we did that.
Thank God.
That was the other meme that I saw that was like, we got TikTok banned before we figured out maternity leave and healthcare, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then this goes back to, like, you know, the whole thing about injustice and that Libra placement, and it just is really, and the government not doing what it's supposed to be doing, according to your book.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And also you have a Taurus Mars too, which is in the 11th house.
I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah. So you have this Taurus Mars in the 11th house, and Taurus Mars, I feel like, fights against all of your Aries placements. I find it really interesting that you have a Taurus Mars, because Taurus Mars is very much like, I'm going to get it done, but I need, like, it's like the, you know, when a train just starts moving, like an old locomotive, and it's like, and it's like very, very slow at first. And then all of a sudden it's like super fast. Like, that's kind of the energy of Taurus Mars. Like, it takes a minute to get things off the ground. But once you're like in full locomotive action, it's like nothing can stop you, you know? And I feel like because of all of your Aries placements, maybe like the Taurus Mars does resonate, but then your Aries placements are like beating you down, unfortunately, for wanting to like take your time and doing things, you know? So I feel like you need to give yourself some grace and have a little bit of patience when it comes to the things that you're creating, because sometimes it takes time to grow them and make them bigger and make them exactly what you want them to really truly be. Like, not everything happens overnight, unfortunately, as much as we want that to.
That I know is probably the most offensive thing you've said to Stevie this entire time. I'm offended by it.
I don't have time to be a Taurus. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, that is I don't have time, like, to what be do a you Taurus. Mean it doesn't happen over the fucking night? How dare you?
Rude.
I want to know why Stevie and I both have the same Chiron placement.
Because the way that Chiron moves, and she was born in 87, you're born in 88. So just like timing wise, Chiron usually stays in a placement for a decent amount of time. So
let me reword that. I want to know what it means that Stevie and I both have the same Chiron placement.
That you're both misunderstood, especially when you were younger. You're very misunderstood. And because of that, it's taken you a long time to develop the way that you want to communicate and speak and like say things in the world. So because of that, it like kind of took you a minute to find your voice. And I feel like with Stevie, because it's in the 12th house for you, I feel like you still doubt yourself a lot. And you still doubt your words a lot because of the way that maybe you weren't really able to speak the way you wanted to when you were younger, or like express yourself in the ways that you needed to. So because of that, I feel like, you know, it adds a little extra layer to the Gemini Chiron. And I feel like you are a very expressive person and like you're very deep, but also at the same time, I feel like you don't always speak that much about yourself, you know, like you're very good at like speaking and like helping other people, but it's like hard for you to express yourself, like for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know. I know all about that.
Yeah. I've noticed I say, you know, a lot, so I apologize.
Yeah, no, I get it. It brings me home. I'm like, I feel like I'm entering the next stage of my life where I'm ready to just tell everybody to fuck off again. I was really happy when I was there. And I think I'm going to, I think I'm going to slide back there just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I think that's important because your energy is very easily captured by other people, even if you don't like mean to. Let them in, like you just do naturally. It's just who you are. You have a very like penetrating aura. And I feel like creating those boundaries, can't spell boundaries without Aries, will help you protect your energy a little bit more. And then you'll have more energy to Aries even harder if you wanted to.
Damn. I don't know if that's possible, guys. I just rescued a floor loom from a dump, like a fucking huge one.
Yeah,
it's like a rug loom.
It's like nice.
It's like a full 48-inch floor rug loom. I couldn't let it die. I loved it so much. I loved it so hard. I put it in my basement.
I'm gonna learn.
I'm gonna learn. It's one of my projects. I'm really excited.
I love that.
I dove down a genealogy rabbit hole too this past week while I wasn't feeling well, and that was super fun.
Nice. And we haven't really touched much on your Cancer rising, but something that I always loved about both of your relationships is that Rachel has the Capricorn rising and you have the Cancer rising. So when you're together, especially hardcore mom and dad.
Hardcore.
Which is really funny if you think about it, because like when we're not, like you're real dad.
Yeah.
Like we're both very dad.
Very dead.
But then when we're together, I'm like, let me be dead.
That's okay. You can be dad anytime you want. You can be whoever you want. I'm just here for the ride.
Mom and dad.
Because I don't know. I think my friend kind of summed it up pretty well, because the other day the kids were out here like fucking around and being assholes to each other on the trampoline. And I was like, hey, do you want him to touch your body in that way? And the kid was like, no. And I was like, okay, tell him that with your words before this gets out of hand. And he looked at me, and then he looked at his brother, and then he punched him in the face, launched himself across the trampoline, punched him in the face. I'm like, dude, get your ass in the house. Right. I kind of yell at him a little bit, and I give him the mom voice. I'm like, get in here. Okay. And so he comes in, and he's got his big pouty face. He's real fucking mad because he's my Pisces boy with all the Aquarius placements, right? He's big fucking mad all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time.
Nonstop mad.
Feelings hurt. Yeah. It comes from sadness, right? Feelings hurt. So he comes in. I'm like, dude, what the heck, man? I'm like, man, I'm trying to advocate for you, and you're just like out here throwing hands, dude. Like I was right here. I'm right here to like help you. You don't need to throw hands at your brother, because I'm here, man, and I got you. And my friend was like, she saw this whole thing, and she was like, you know, you were really dad and really mom both in that moment at the same time. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. Nick wasn't around. But when I'm with Rachel, she can be a dad, and I'm totally fine with that. I'm working on like being a little softer too, and not just being like, what the fuck? All the time. Cause that's really what I want to say is, what the actual fuck?
Yeah. I understand. Also, for your son, does he have an Aquarius moon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He's the only one that doesn't have an Aries moon. Everybody else has an Aries moon. Mick and the other two kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Aquarius moon is a hard placement. It has a lot to do with perception, and it always wants to be perceived in the best way, but it also projects a lot of feelings onto itself. So it creates a lot of stories as like why like other things are happening to them, when like it's really just all mental and they're creating the story for themselves. So then they hurt their own feelings all the time, thinking that like people are feeling one way about them when it's something completely different. So
wild. This kid has been jumping to conclusions since he could talk. Okay.
Literally every image of somebody just going to my brain.
Just, I mean, for like
the corgi jumping off the pier.
All of it. Just jumping to conclusions. He did that on purpose. We're going to get ice cream at Six Flags right now. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like 9 o'clock on a Monday. We are not going to Six Flags. And then he's so mad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did you come up with this story?
Right? Like, did you have a whole conversation with yourself and none of us were included in it? And now you've just come to the conclusion that we're going to Six Flags. But no, we're not.
Yeah.
It's like, wrong. We are.
Yeah. And then he's like, you hate me. You won't take me to Six Flags right now.
Yeah. Wow. And I feel like that is also an Aquarius moon thing. It's like, now I'm going to like kind of gaslight you. No offense to Aquarius moons. I love you all so much. But like when you're really emotional, these things can happen. And I feel like maybe he like try like maybe it's like trying to manifest it, but it's also like slight gaslighting. Now I'm gonna gaslight you into doing what I want you to do.
yeah. And then he's just like, sad baby, and I'm like, I fucking love you so hard, sad baby. God.
And he's like, huh.
No, you don't.
If you loved me, you would take me Six Flags. Like you
actually, he doesn't say no, you don't. He just shuts down completely and will just stare at you. Like, he just stops. He stops engaging completely.
It's like, it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah. I'm so mad at you. I'm just not even going to say anything. Like, okay, I love you.
Just know this inside.
I don't care what your head is telling you.
Yeah,
exactly. Big props to you. I don't know if I could do it.
Yep, you could. You would.
I
you
barely. Could. Sometimes I want to yeet Cosmo out of the window.
Yo, so I had like when we were first trying to connect, my cat was just all over all of these computers in which I had to close them and reopen them. And then you started like emailing somebody. Like, what is happening? Almost yeeted out the window because I just, no, I don't have patience for that.
Yeah, and why? Who the fuck is your cat got an email? You know?
Like, right?
Your cat just fucking.
Probably the men in black.
Ooh.
But like, no. Your cat knows better than that.
Maybe CERN.
Hopefully.
He's a good boy.
I know, but you know, who the fuck's he emailing anyway?
I also love that you were born at 11:22 a.m. You're so divine.
Oh, thank
progress.
You want to know something weird about that? Actually, so I was born on 3/29 at 11:22 a.m. and my brother, who's 11 years younger than me, was born on 11/22 at 3:29 a.m.
Whoa. Wow.
I didn't know that.
Kind of weird, right?
Yeah. That is very weird. I would love to look at your charts like next to each other. See what's happening.
I think I have all of his I have all his details. I'd be interested too. I've never looked at his chart.
I would love to do that. I also love to do family readings, like your energy, like with the kids kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is something that I've really been loving to do lately. So we should do that too one day.
If you print out all of her children's like charts, like the circle charts,
it makes a heart. Oh, I have them. I have them here. Let me do it.
I did. We like printed them out in my house last time she was here, and I just was staring at them. I'm like, wait a minute. And I just folded it up. I was like, yo, it's a heart.
Aww.
Oh, I got to figure out which way it goes. Because like Emmy's looks like a kite. This one's Emmy's.
Mm-hmm.
She's so the point of the
heart. She's the middle.
Yeah. And then each of the boys are on either side of her.
Why can't I figure out geometry right now? Come on, Stevie. I was talking with someone about like an education consultant, and she works with someone else that reads the child's birth chart to help create an education plan for them.
That's so cool.
And I thought that was really interesting, and I would really, really love that.
Yeah, that is really cool. It's so wild how many different ways you can use astrology. You can literally use it for anything. Aww.
It's very awkward to try to pick it up and place and hold it. But anyway, that's what they do.
I love it. All of your love.
All of my love into these three children.
Yeah. But you still got other love to give. You still give and give and give and give until the day is long.
I love everybody until I don't. And then.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
And then catch these hands.
Yeah. And like, but you know.
I would literally never want to fight you. I would be terrified to be in a physical altercation with you.
Okay. So I tell my kids all the time, they're like, Mom, fight me. And I'm like, Mama, don't fight no more. I don't fight anymore for a reason. No.
Because she ripped a man's jaw off once. I've seen it.
I am going to plead the fifth on all counts, please, and questions.
I've seen it.
Allegations. You're not supposed to talk about the time that we... You were there, so you're an accomplice. You shouldn't be talking about that.
You just admitted to seinting it, so.
I did. I seinted it, and I just yeeted it out of my brain. It never happened. I pleaded fifth.
It wasn't me. It was my Gemini placement.
Yeah. Here's your Chiron.
No, it's definitely your Cancer, your Aries with your Cancer rising mixture.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because we all, as we now all know, Cancer, maybe it's not John that's going to kill me. Maybe you're going to be the one that kills me.
I would never. I would never.
I know.
I mean.
But what if?
But no. I guess the possibility exists in a scenario, but that scenario doesn't actually exist anywhere within this realm of reality. So no. Yeah. No chance.
Yeah. Thank you for thinking about it and deciding to not.
It's because I love you so hard, bro.
You're like, could I kill her? Could I kill her? See, and that's Cancer placement in your big... Y'all are fucking murderers. Every single one of y'all.
I can't, though. I could, but I really wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I know. That's why I just taunt you all with it. And like,
it's okay.
You would love to.
It's okay. But I couldn't, though. Like, I don't even kill bugs in my house anymore. I've made amends with the spiders and the critters.
Oh, I don't kill them. Spiders eat the mosquitoes. They're like,
heck yeah, they do. Besties. Yeah.
Besties.
So you become a pacifist in your later years. In
no,
life.
Like, I will still fuck some shit up. Like, don't even get it twisted, because I will if I have to. But also, like, I don't have to kill that spider. That spider is my friend. Right? That's a spider friend. That friend just needs more space than other friends. Right? Like, I don't kill bees. I don't swat at them. They're friends. They just need more space.
Though, if anyone has a pet turkey.
Fuck them. Fuck turkeys. I can't.
And if anyone has a trained turkey, I would love to know. Because I'm would sweating. Like borrow it. I'm going to rent this trained turkey and bring it to... This is how I die. I get...
This is how you die.
I get this is how you die. Turkey, and I have the turkey just like run at you. And then... You freak out, and then you kill the turkey, and then you kill me in a blackout.
Everybody's dead.
I just want to let you know that it's okay if that's how it. I understand, and you can kill me over a turkey.
I feel
like you got to eat the turkey afterwards. Make sure John like deep fries it or something. You know, peanut oil.
I feel like the scenario, like on the parallel next to that in my brain, is that you have this trained turkey, you bring it to me. And then it goes after you, and then I have to kill it. But in my killing it, all of my Aries-ness is very chaotic, and I accidentally murder you while I'm trying to save you from the turkey. Like when I wake up in the middle of the night and mix covered with spiders, and then I am trying to kill all the spiders, but I'm really beating the crap out of my husband. Because I'm helping him. Because I love him so hard.
Well, it's a true story, y'all.
True story.
That there were spiders all over Mick and started swatting at him, but there were no spiders on Mick.
There were no spiders, and he's so patient. He's very Taurus. Very Taurus. Cap he does rising. Have an Aries moon, Cap rising. He's very patient.
So Saturn and Uranus in Sagittarius. Yours.
No.
Yes, you have those in Sag.
That's the only one, right? The only placement in Sagittarius.
You got two.
Saturn and Uranus.
Uranus.
Oh. Uranus. And I feel like with that being the sixth house, like the sixth house is daily routines, that kind of just like doubles down on your need for things to like be different day to day and for like travel and things of that nature. But with Saturn being there, it's also like you're very strict. I feel like Saturn Sagittarius is like trying to learn how to have fun and not really like be strict about when you can have fun. Like if I don't get X, Y, and Z done, then I can't do this. And that may be a rule that you kind of like place on yourself, like regulating when you can do things for yourself based on how much you've gotten done throughout the day. Also with Uranus there, like that's also a very big like justice placement too. Sagittarius, Uranus is a very big like justice placement. It's kind of, I feel like Aquarius and Sagittarius kind of like clasp hands on the justice part of the zodiac. Also Libra, obviously, but I feel like the people who really take action are people that have like Sagittarius and Aquarius placements. I mean, obviously anybody can take action in any way that they want to, but if I had to assign a sign to that, I would probably assign those two guys. So I feel like that's another place in your chart where like you yearn for justice for situations. And then the last one is not in Sagittarius, but it's actually your Neptune in Capricorn. Capricorn Neptune always kind of throws me also, even though a lot of people in our generation have it. Like Rachel has it in her first house. I have it in my second house. So I feel like Capricorn Neptune is like putting structure maybe behind our... Because like, so Neptune is the planet of like psychic powers and like breaking delusions and things of that nature. So when it's in Capricorn, to me, I feel like, I don't know, I can't decipher the energy right now.
What it says here, because I'm like looking it up, it says the strengths of this placement lie in the ability to connect deeply and idolize things. It's an area where one can have strong, non-rational and non-conceptual perception, deep emotional understanding, and a spiritual connection.
There we go. Thank you. Because my words were not wording in that moment.
No, it's fine. But I feel like that's always a placement too, where I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
What?
I just feel like those two placements together to me in my brain don't make sense. You know, like the math isn't mathing with a Capricorn Neptune.
The challenges associated with this placement may involve a struggle to balance the future with the past. Sometimes it's beneficial to step back and see the big picture, to be patient and receptive in the process. Being receptive to spiritual roots and personal life values can be a challenge. These individuals may experience uncertainty about relationship, but through life, they learn to adapt and evolve within relationships.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now we all learned something today.
Fusion of profound receptive aspects of the self with the attributes of responsibility and patience.
Something that people with Aries placements don't have.
Not usually. No, I struggle with all of those things. Patience. Oh, patience.
The strength lies in the ability to connect deeply.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah, and you have to be really patient to do that.
Yeah, and challenges challenges revolve around uncertainty and imperfection. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. 100p. Yeah.
Well, I feel like we all learned something here today.
We did. I learned that if I bring a turkey to Stevie's house, she's going to fucking kill me.
Literally. By accident, probably.
Yeah, whatever.
Listen, there's no murder, there's no death, there's no murder. Mama don't fight no more unless I fucking have to, but I don't have to, because
listen, I'm gonna roll up to your house with everyone from Anahata's and they're all just gonna have my back.
But I also have your back. That's the thing. That's how I'm saying that you're gonna die. Because I'm gonna be like,
fight you with a turkey though.
You're not gonna fight me. What are you going to fight me for? I love you so much.
I don't know why I would actually do any of this.
Yeah. if you rolled up at her house with everybody from Anahata, Stevie would be the happiest the person in the
fucking party.
See, you guys, now
you're... I would cry. Now, how are you going to fight crybaby?
I'm trying to get you over the turkey fear by conditioning you.
Immersion therapy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Listen, there's a place here. It's called Turkeyville. I've been working on this fear.
I know.
I've been working on it. I went to Turkeyville.
That's got like mad turkeys, and she goes and she gobbles at them, and they all yell at her. And she's
my kid,
like,
okay, I don't do the gobble. Okay, the kids usually do the gobble because they think it's fucking hilarious. But if you do a little like, and then they'll all do it back to you, like all in unison. It's like it's in stereo. Wild. It's just wild, and they get really close to you, and I don't like that.
Mm. There are some wild turkeys on Long Island that I've seen. And also up here where I live now in Westchester, there's wild turkeys.
I had a fucking 5-foot-tall wild turkey walking down my goddamn driveway the other day after I dropped the kids off at school.
Five foot
fucking, as big as my head, bro. It's crazy. It wasn't really
the biggest turkey I've ever seen.
No, bro, it was this big. No, it was very large. It was a really big turkey. I didn't go out there with a fucking measuring tape or like ask it to come in the kitchen where I measure the kids and put a little mark on the wall. But he was big. He was a big guy. He had a big fucking gobbler.
Oh no, that's what they're I don't so like gross. About I don't turkeys. Like, is their little gobble?
I'm not a fan. Why is it so big? It's just like
I don't love it.
Ah, tuck it in, son.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, I'm not a fan of turkeys. We have them here. I'll fight one if it comes near my kids, but I don't want to have to.
So, in the town that Stevie and I both used to live in.
Yo, that turkey's out of fucking pocket, Rachel. You gonna tell him about the turkey?
Yeah, I'm fucking home about the turkey.
It's out of pocket.
That's really where the first time I ever heard the phrase out of pocket was Stevie telling me that a turkey was out of pocket.
Nice.
There was in the middle of a city.
Yeah, in the city, there's a fucking turkey that just straight up cracked out. There's a crackhead turkey. Crackhead turkey.
Meth. It was probably meth in that town.
Probably.
Yeah.
And it would pretty much wait. It was right by a school. So first of all, drug zone, you know, breaking the law.
It also lived under the power lines, which I think may have affected. Mental stability.
Yeah, like charged it up. It was a fully charged crack turkey.
Yeah.
But it would like wait till the school got out and all the parents were trying to like pick up their kids and like get out. And the turkeys would literally just like walk out into the road and like stop traffic.
And the one turkey
peck at your car.
Would peck at your car. Jumping on people's hoods and shit. Yeah. Pecking at the windshield.
Wild ass turkeys.
Out of fucking pocket. Rude is really what it is.
If you live in Gloucester City, you know about the crazy turkey.
Yeah.
Well, so how many turkeys are there?
What was like one boy with a bunch of hens, like a harem of fucking turkey hens. They lived under the power lines.
He was that pimp turkey.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, he was a big boy.
Seems like it.
Fucking giant. I don't like the gobbler. His was really big too. I'm not a fan. Mm. I did not consent to see that, friend.
Nope. Did not.
Where's your chin strap? Man.
Anyway. Yeah. But we have chickens. It's kind of the same, but not really.
Their gobblers are smaller.
I'm getting better because this is really trauma based, right? As are all the things, right? Because when I was a little kid and we went down the shore, we always went to Wildwood. I was attacked by seagulls because they're fucking rude, horrible, vile creatures. I love all creatures. I don't kill things, but I will punch a fucking seagull right in its goddamn face. I am not here for the birds.
As well as a turkey.
As well as a turkey, if I have to. But they're a lot bigger, and I don't actually really want to fight anybody.
I put my fighting days behind me. I've been trying to tell you.
My knees hurt. Is there any, like, I was just going to say, is there any, like, crazy astrological things that happen? What am I going to be, 37? Like, Saturn return is, what, 27 to 30 or something like that. Mm-hmm. What's the next like big one? Any idea?
Were you doing?
No, that's a great question. But your nodes are returning, you know, over the next year, you know, you're in this like nodal return. So that's a lot of like destiny stuff, like learning how to connect through like boundaries and relationships and things of that nature. Mm. But also just in general, like this Aries season is going to be pretty wild because we just shifted into Aries and then we have the lunar eclipse in Libra on the 25th of March. And then Mercury goes into retrograde on April 1st. And then on April 10th, we have a Mars and Saturn conjunction in Pisces. And I feel like that could be a little volatile in some ways too, even though Pisces like doesn't really get pinned for always for being volatile, like they can be. And I feel like Mars and Saturn are like mm-hmm. the two heavier hitters of the planet. So we're going to be experiencing that on April 10th. And the Mercury comes out of retrograde April 25th. We'll already be in Taurus season by then, but there's just like a lot of like building up of energy, I feel like happening. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, especially with you having so many Aries placements, just being aware of that like energy that's happening over the next couple of weeks, especially with everybody in your house and all of their Aries placements mm-hmm. too. Yeah. I feel like everybody just needs to be nice to each other and know that we're all feeling and going through the same thing.
This is like an all day, every day conversation.
Something that I can tell you though, is that something that Luke introduced me to is something called perfections. And perfections are essentially, it determines like what your year is going to be focused on, like zodiac sign wise, house wise, and like planetary alignments essentially. So this past year for you has been your Cancer year. So it's been your first house year, a lot of like rediscovering yourself and what you need for self-care and what you need for you, and like kind of realigning like the way that you're giving your energy and things of that nature. It's also ruled by the moon, so a lot of emotional energy over this past year. But you're moving into your second house year, which is Leo and also the sun. And the second house is all about, you know, self-worth, but also financial worth. And I feel like with you having the second house in Leo with no planets in there, like it could be really easy for you to be abundant, but you just have to get out of your own way. I feel like you can create a lot of blockages for yourself by like self-doubt. Through self-doubt, like releasing that self-doubt and that need for reassurance, which I know is easier said than done, is like kind of how you step out into your own to really like make and create. And I feel like this is the year for you to really shine and do those things. So that's your 37 year, which is really interesting to me.
I had never heard of that. Thank you, Teresa. Yeah. And thank you, Luke, for telling Teresa about that. That's fucking dope.
It is pretty cool.
You know, I feel like, wasn't you guys had Luke on, right? And yes. Then Luke in that episode said that there was a dream about me and I really need to know. So I think I'm going to have to message because you just said his name and now I just remembered. And so I'm going to have to message. Coming for you, Luke. Yep.
Definitely yep. Message them on Instagram for sure.
I need to know.
Yeah. I love Luke.
Same.
They messaged me the other day and they were like, I think that it should be Capricorn season again so I can come back on the podcast and just bullshit with you and Rachel. And I was like, we can figure that out at some point. Like, it doesn't have to be Capricorn season for you to come back.
Yeah, just be like, what's your moon sign?
All right. Well, guys, it's been real.
Everyone, you have a new best friend.
Hi.
It's my best friend.
I'm Stevie. I love you real hard.
Yep.
Love you too, Stevie. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And
thanks for having Rachel, me, guys.
Get your Chinese food. I'm also going to order Chinese food, and it's going to be a delightful evening.
I'm going to be jealous of your Chinese food and go eat whatever Mick cooked. And it's probably delicious too.
It's probably still delicious. Yeah.
It's definitely going to be delicious, but it's not General Tso's chicken.
Stevie, I love you. Thank you for coming on the show.
I love you too,
friend. You are an Astro Ho, and you are out of pocket, just like a turkey.
Sometimes, but I'm not a turkey.
You're an ethereal being.
You are a golden ram that flies over the ocean.
I fly the children over the ocean. Okay.
Astro Ho's out.
Astro Ho's out.
Love you guys.
Well, that's a wrap for another episode of Two Geminis and a Leo.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to give that follow button a forehead kiss so you never miss an episode.
And don't forget to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. If you want to stay connected, you can go to our website, Two Geminis and Leo, where you can connect with either of us or find all of our social media and Patreon platforms.
So just search for Two Geminis and a Leo. And if you have any thoughts, questions, or topic suggestions, drop us a line. We'd love to get a transmission from you.
Until next time, folks.
Astro Ho's out. Should we sing it? I think we should sing
Astro Ho. No, because that's up there forever.
Yeah.
But like the way you're saying it is funny. Astro Ho's out. Astro Ho's out.
Astro Ho's out.
Astro
Ho's Astro Ho's out.
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 Astro Ho's
out.
Astro Ho's out.